Hello, good morning. Lovely to see you as well. Bless June. That was, that's the similar things that happened to us as well. So, mission-shaped living. Today is the fourth in our series on mission-shaped living. We've already looked at being sent, having confidence, and having courage. And today we are looking at compassion. Now, compassion is the most powerful antidote for hatred and bitterness that the human heart can find. It's the only way to restore love to a broken relationship, both between man and woman, and humanity and God. The dictionary defines compassion as sympathetic pity and concern for the suffering or misfortunes of others. Qualities of compassion include patience, kindness, empathy, comfort and tenderness. It's not about giving good advice. In the book of Job, he said that Eliphaz's advice was like eating the tasteless white of an egg. Well, people need compassion far more than they need good advice. Compassion motivates people to go out of their way to help others physically, mentally, or emotionally. I remember in the early days of my widowhood, 23 years ago, one friend from church came and just sat with me, not saying much, but just giving me the compassion and comfort of her presence. In the dictionary, compassion is defined as a noun, but for it to be effective, it has to change into a verb and become active. At the start of homeschooling recently, our six-year-old granddaughter Livy asked her dad, "What is a verb?" His reply was, "Go and ask Alexa." Well, I don't think we really need to ask Alexa to tell us how to be effective and active. So where does compassion come from initially? It comes, of course, from Father God. In Exodus 22, God makes provision for the needy and says, "When he cries out to me, I will hear, for I am compassionate." Compassion is part of God's character. It's who he is. Later on in chapter 34 of Exodus, when Moses went up to the mountain to be given the Ten Commandments, the Lord passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. And several other verses throughout the scriptures link compassion with two other characteristics of God, his mercy and his grace. That last reading up on the screen, Lamentations 3:22, says, "Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." So after the compassion that comes from God, we see the compassion of Jesus, and there are loads of examples of his compassion in the New Testament. The woman caught in adultery, the raising of Jairus' daughter. And we read that Jesus was filled with compassion when the man with leprosy fell on his knees in front of Jesus, begging him to help him. We read in Mark 1 that Jesus reached out his hand, touched the man, and immediately his leprosy was cured. Later on in Mark chapter 6, Jesus stood in front of a large crowd and we read, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them, and later, of course, performed the miracle of the 5 loaves and 2 fish feeding 5,000. And then thirdly, we see the compassion of others. We see evidence of compassion in the story of Jonah, when the sailors didn't want to throw him out into the sea, even after he'd admitted the storm was probably his fault for refusing to obey God. And then there's the compassion of the four friends who brought their paralyzed friend to Jesus. And we see the compassion of the prodigal son's father, who ran towards him with love and compassion in his heart. Thinking of that story a bit more, perhaps it is now our turn, having been brought back ourselves into a loving relationship with Father God, to now be the welcoming father and mother to others, to be actively praying and looking for the return of the lost, to run out to meet them as they take tentative steps to come back, even if it means losing our dignity, to use our hands to forgive, comfort and heal, and to offer our joy on their return, and to share, like the Father, all that we have with them, offering to others the same compassion that God has offered to us. And remember too the compassion of the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10. That story brings out many different attitudes that people had to the man who was robbed and hurt. To the religious men, he was a subject to discuss. To the bandits, he was someone to exploit. To the innkeeper, he was a customer to serve for a fee. But to the Samaritan, he was a wounded human being to whom he shared compassion and comfort, care and love. Peter encourages us in his first letter to live in harmony with one another, to be sympathetic, to love as brothers, to be compassionate and humble. And Paul in Colossians 3 says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." And our response to seeing and receiving God's gracious and merciful compassion to us, and seeing the compassion of Jesus and others, is to imitate them and actively put on compassion like a cloak, reflecting this compassion to those around us. The work of mission is a ministry of love and compassion which we are all called to be involved in. And we each have a story to tell of how Jesus has transformed our lives. Paul explains in 2 Corinthians 5 verses 14 to 21 that we should not regard people through human eyes, but with the eyes of Christ. And he explains that mission is about the message of reconciliation. God can use us to repair the broken relationships between people and the Lord. And we can do this because we have been reconciled to God ourselves and come to know his love. Paul tells us that we are ambassadors for Christ, representing him to a needy world, doing just what Jesus would do today if he was still on earth. That's why we've looked at the compassion of Father God, the compassion of Jesus as he helped the poor and needy, and the way compassion was shown in the scriptures just through ordinary people like you and me. We've been basing our recent studies on the passage in Luke 10 where Jesus sends out the 72 and he talks about heal those who are sick. He wasn't just speaking about kingdom values. He was asking people to show God's love in action. So our sharing Jesus with others must come from a genuine love for them and an active interest in what matters to them. So I'm going to highlight three ways we can think of compassion as we seek to care for others and share the good news of Jesus. Because the work of evangelism can be summarized in three actions: prayer, care, and share. But first of all, it starts with praying for others. The study guide we are following suggests we choose 5 non-Christian friends to pray for each day. It might be some names that are already popping up into your mind. May I suggest you write their names down later and commit to praying for them every day? Fortunately, prayer is not hampered by lockdown. In fact, surely lockdown gives us more opportunity and time to pray. And when we hear of someone in need, we can immediately pray with them and for them. I'm sure there are lots of phone prayers going on at the present time. And you know, most people are really grateful if you ask them to pray with them. I've taken dozens of funerals over recent years, and every visit I made to a family, I always offered to pray with them at the end. And in all that time, I only ever had one person who said, no thanks. The others were really grateful and appreciative. And in fact, one of the five persons I've been praying for this last week, we saw him yesterday on our walk outside, and he was telling us of his woes and his ill health. And I said, I'll be praying for you every day. And he seemed really grateful. Secondly, we can be seeking to bless others. And as you think and pray for the people that God puts on your heart, ask God to give you opportunities to bless them. It may be the words from our reading about comfort can be put into action. God comforts us in order that we can comfort other people. He has compassion on us so that we can pass his compassion onto others. It's a bit like a relay race. During the race, the relay runners receive a baton, but they miss the point if they simply hold on to it. It's meant to be passed on to others so that they can complete their part in the bigger race. Likewise, we miss the point if when we receive comfort from God, we simply hang on to that. It's meant to be passed on so that others can complete their spiritual race as well. And yes, I know we are a bit limited at the moment with lockdown, but we could send a card, make a cake, or send some words of encouragement by text. Of course, there will be times when we see or hear of a need, but we can't do anything practically. But we can still pray, and prayer is needed far more than ever as we continue to experience the effects of this terrible pandemic. And then thirdly, to respond to need sacrificially. When we do hear of a need, perhaps we can go the extra mile for someone, because that then is a true reflection of how God loves us. Their need is an opportunity to show our love and care for them. And I do feel that we as a church have shown compassion in full measure over the years, and especially during the pandemic. But it's good to revisit this topic and encourage each other again and again. So we praise God for the 749 meals that were distributed by a small team over 6 weeks during the summer holidays last year. And the bags of groceries that were supplied at Christmas to 54 families in need in the area, containing Christmas lunch, everything they needed to make that, and three other meals, and lots of extra groceries and fruit and vegetables. A total of 960 meals. Plus, of course, the wonderful, fully cooked Christmas hot dinner that was given to 40 people, plus 35 afternoon teas and a small Christmas gift. That bountiful giving of people in the fellowship was sacrificial love in action. And I suggest you watch out for news at Easter and see what you can do to help then. In the middle of these tough times, I know God is able to comfort us with his love and the love of other believers. And it may be that some of you need his special comfort today. Then do reach out and ask for prayer. There are four people on prayer ministry today. They would be delighted to pray with you over the phone. And then ask God for the compassion to reach out to others and pass on to them the comfort that we ourselves have received. Perhaps we can look at it this way that comes from our other reading. When we see someone hungry and thirsty, let us see Christ. When we see someone in need of clothes, let us see Christ. When we visit someone in need when we're allowed to, or telephone, let us see Christ. When we welcome strangers, let us see Christ. Because, Jesus said, whatever we do for one of the least of God's people, we are doing for Jesus. I'm going to leave the last words this morning to Jean Vanier, who was a Canadian Catholic theologian who founded L'Arche, the Federation of Christian Communities which especially helped people with disabilities. Your pain calls out to me. It touches my heart. It awakens something within me, and I become one with you in your pain. I may not be able to relieve your pain, but by understanding it and sharing it, I make it possible for you to bear it in a way that enhances your dignity and helps you to grow. Let it be so, Lord. Amen.